Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this, we're joining Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live from Maryville, Tennessee. We are indeed so, so blessed. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer is going to be a supplication. Supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. The Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father and of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Name of the Father, of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Let me unmute Mother and the sisters. And we're going to pin them right now. We're going to stop this. And hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear us?
Yes, loud and clear.
Very good. Very good.
Wonderful. Well, again, we're just to let everyone know, we're not fully set up yet. We're still in our process of a studio build, in a humble sense, for Mother and the sisters. We're about 75% there. We're just waiting for a couple more pieces of equipment, waiting for a bit more grace to fall. And then we'll be able to procure that and get that delivered and hopefully set up by December. At the latest, I'm hoping. And I'm not even sure if we're going to have a Christmas concert. We may, but we'll just leave that for... I know I'm going to get the question. So, you know, Mother, it's I thought we'd first start out with maybe just give us an update as to how things are going in Maryville, and then we can begin.
Well, we are... this is the Mux house right here. Our house will be next door. Right now, we're living about 20 minutes away in another place. Eventually, we've been painting floors, sanding, painting for all week now, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Yeah, I didn't see painting and any of that floor work on your resume, Mother. I must have missed it.
Well, we have it's a garage that they added on to and put some bedrooms, and we've got like 7 bedrooms in there, so 5 of us. So we could take maybe 3 more, two, three more sisters in there. And so we've got a big sitting room where we could have the programs, and we have a sewing room and 2 bathrooms in there and a kitchen. So it should be nice and comfortable once we get in there. And this man is helping us, Steve. He's working free of charge, trying to help us to fix it up. He's a builder. So, you know, it's a nice, strong building, and we'll have Mass here with Father, you know, every day. So that's nice. So we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to be here. And it's beautiful weather here. It's like beautiful fall in the mountains. We're in the foothills of the Smokies. And so the Smokies are beautiful, and we can see them from afar, you know. So that's where we're at this point. We didn't start building the monastery yet, which is on a little mountain nearby. but they haven't started building that yet. So we'll be here probably a few months, maybe a year, I don't know, until we get settled in that monastery. So pray that we can get it built. We're trying to get some benefactors to help us with that. So pray for that. And pray that most of all, that we can all live in God's most holy divine will. That's what we're all about here, you know. And I know that's what you're all about over there. Everybody wants to grow in living in his holy divine will. It's a marvelous gift, marvelous thing.
So just to understand, Mother, you're in temporary housing right now to be moved to your other temporary housing until the monastery is built.
Right. We were living in a temporary house, a wedding venue. Then we moved that from that temporary house to another temporary house because they needed to use the wedding venue for someone else. So so we keep moving. We're on the move.
Okay. So nomadic could be another thing you can check off on your resume as well.
Yeah.
Just like the Nazarene.
Yeah. We keep moving. We're getting used to that. So God wants us to get used to living out of suitcase, you know. Anyway,
that's wonderful.
It's fine. You know, you go with the flow, and you know, it, everything's okay. You know, we're just glad we have a roof over our heads. We have a place to sleep, you know, and everybody's happy. We're doing well. The sisters in Italy, they're doing well. When I talk to them, they're very happy and doing well. So God provides everywhere and everything that we need. And we have to be grateful to him, you know. all that he's given us, all that he's done for us. And I'm sure you all out there can say the same in your own lives, how God provides everything. If you just trust in him, he gives you everything that you need and more, you know, and the more you give, the more he gives you in return. We notice that with teaching, even teaching, we're not teachers. We're not, you know, so well-versed in all of this. We just share what we know and what we read. But the more we share, the more he teaches us through that sharing. You know, I was a school teacher before, and one year, I usually taught first and second grade. One year I taught music, 700 kids. But one year I had kindergarten. I even learned a lot teaching kindergarten, because the more you teach, the more God gives you to teach. The Holy Spirit speaks through us. So the more you share this with others, the more he's going to give you words to share it and to know how to share it. But most of all, you have to encourage people to read it. The way you learn to live in the divine will is to read it. You can listen to all the talks you want, but if you're not reading it and not pondering it and praying it, actually, you said one time, Peter, you pray it, you let it sink into your heart and see your soul. You're not going to learn how to live it, you know. So you need to do it on a daily basis. Don't let it go. You know, right now we haven't been reading as much as we usually do because we're painting, but we feel the difference when you don't read as much as you usually do. You can feel the absence of that what he's teaching you through these beautiful writings.
But you can make those beautiful impromptu rounds by saying, come divine will, paint in my painting,
I love you in every drop of paint. We get a lot on ourselves too. We went to Walmart and got some paint outfits. We look like what do we look like, snowmen?
No,
our heads are covered.
Teletubbies. Teletubbies.
Yes. So we'll have to take a picture of what we look like in our paint outfits.
Like babies in onesies.
Yeah. Oh, our shoes are not going to be any good when we finish with this painting expedition. Anyway, I was just reading here in August 15th, 1899. It says, Jesus transforms Louisa completely in himself and teaches her charity. This morning after he made me wait for some time, my adorable Jesus came and told me, my daughter, this morning I want to conform you completely to myself. I want you to think with my own mind, look with my own eyes, listen with my own ears, speak with my own tongue, work with my own hands, walk with my own feet, and love with my own heart. And we have to be aware of that throughout the day, that the Trinity dwells in our souls. When we speak, he's speaking in us. Realize his presence within. Call him into your activity. He's a gentleman. He wants you to call him into the activities you're doing. He relived each person's life to perfection, each one of us. So what we're doing is recalling that perfect act that he did to us when he relived our lives. Recalling it and taking it as our own and returning it to him. So we can't even give him anything unless he gives it to us first. And then he gives it to the Father. It becomes a divine act. Divine acts have no beginning or end. They're eternal. And so that's how you grow in holiness. The more acts and rounds you do in the divine world, the more you shrink, the more you die to yourself, the more you realize your nothingness, and you take on the attributes of Jesus, his virtues, his attributes. So you're being transformed gradually as you continue to call him in everything you do. It goes on to say, after this, Jesus united all of his senses that I have mentioned to mine, and I saw that he was giving me his own shape. Not only this, but he gave me the grace to make use of his senses, as he himself had done. Then he continued, I am pouring great graces into you. Make sure that you use them well. And I answered, I am very much afraid, my beloved Jesus, knowing myself to be full of misery, that instead of doing good, I may misuse your graces. But what I fear most is my tongue, that oftentimes make me fall in charity toward my neighbor. How many of us can say the same thing? So Louisa had a problem with that too. So, you know, I don't think she was criticizing others. I don't know what she meant, maybe in correcting others. So then Jesus goes on to say, and Jesus said, do not be afraid, he tells Louisa. I myself will teach you how to speak with your neighbor. First, when you are told something about your neighbor, examine yourself to see whether you are guilty of that same defect. For in that case, wanting to correct him would mean wanting to displease me and to scandalize your neighbor. So what we can do when you see faults and problems in other people, direct them to yourself. See, are you at fault doing those same things that that person does? Use it to really examine your own conscience, whatever other people are doing. and then just say, you know, Jesus, I'm sorry, and pray for that person. And you know, when you forgive others, what they do to you won't be forgiven unless you forgive. Forgive whatever people do to you. And scripture says, jump for joy when you're persecuted, because you're like him. You like Jesus. He was persecuted worse than we'll ever be persecuted. And he was perfect, never sinned. We're sinners. We deserve much worse than we get. So jump for joy that you don't get any worse than what you're getting. And be grateful to those people that God uses to help transform your soul through criticisms, through persecutions. God is constantly trying to transform us and make us become more and more like him. And the more you accept these things, the more you die to these things, these crosses, and you accept the cross with great gratitude and resignation, the more you grow in holiness. It goes on to say, second, if you see yourself free from that defect, rise up then and try to speak as I would. In this way, you will speak with my own tongue. If you do this, you will never fail in charity toward your neighbor. On the contrary, with your words, you will do good to yourself and to your neighbor, and you will give me honor and glory. How many times we criticize or contradict what other people are saying, which is not even important. They're saying something that really doesn't matter, not important at all, but you want to be right. So you criticize, you contradict. You know, Mother Angelica, you say mind over matter. You don't mind something, it doesn't matter. We make a lot of things mind in our lives that really don't matter. We get ourselves upset with people over stupid little things that really don't matter, and just accept it and go on. And you know, just let it go. Don't say anything. Some people say, well, I have to be honest, but you don't have to tell everything you think. Keep it to yourself. Yes, we have to be honest when people ask us a question, how we think about things, but we don't have to just blurt out everything we think or know. And when somebody says something, you don't agree with it. If it's not an important thing, why contradict it? Let them think what they want to think. If it's not a concerning faith and morals, why contradict it? It might be the sky is cloudy right now. And you say, well, I don't see any clouds. You got to contradict with some people have to contradict everything somebody else says. It's not important. Say something is green, but you think it's black. Let them think it's green. You know, it doesn't really matter. It's not important. It's neither here nor there. So all these little things in charity, Louisa would never let anyone criticize anyone else in her presence. To really practice charity, not be critical of other people, to not be putting people down. Usually when people put other people down is because they're very insecure. They think by putting another person down, they're going to lift themselves up, but they don't. They're just putting themselves down further than the other person. So not to be critical, to love in season and out of season. That's what the whole divine will is all about. God loving us and us returning that love to him. So we have to be charitable, kind to others, be helpful when you can. I found here in Tennessee, the people very helpful. I was painting a corner of a cabinet the other day with one of our aspirants who wants to join us, by the way. Her name is Faustina. Pray for her. She was here for a week with us. And she and I were painting this corner cabinet that goes into our kitchen. And it was in the back of a man's truck. And I had my phone in the back of the man's truck. And he drove off because he had to get home because he had to eat because he had diabetes and he wasn't feeling well. So anyway, he drove off real quick. They took the cabinet off, but I forgot my phone. So as he was gone, the phone fell on the road and it fell to pieces. a day later, a man calls. He says, I found this phone in the side of the road. I put it together. And then a person called me and I'm calling that person back. It was a lady that was here with us. He called her. She knew I prayed to St. Anthony. Father was saying mass and right at the prayer petition, I asked St. Anthony to help me find my phone. Right during after the consecration, this lady, as was at mass with us, she got a call from this man, said, I found this phone and I want to return it to this. I'm calling you because your number came up. Mm-hmm. And so I got my phone back, which was unbelievable. How many people would see a phone on the side of the road all falling apart and would just drive by? You know, Tom was telling me another man that was having trouble with his car, and this lady came out. She knew how to fix it. She gave up what she was doing, spent a lot of time, fixed his car for him and drove off. You know, that people help each other here. We were right way out in the country in the middle of nowhere, you know. And the people are very kind to each other. So we're grateful for that, you know. There's in Italy, you know, we noticed the people are very friendly. I mean, stop and talk, and it was hard to get away from them. The Americans are friendly and kind, but they let you go. You know, got more time to pray that way. You know, anyway, we're grateful for the beautiful place we're in.
And just real quickly, Mother, you know, St. Anthony, you mentioned that poor St. Anthony, he's overworked sometimes. We used to go to a church in Newark, New Jersey called St. Lucy's, beautiful traditional church. And the old Italian ladies there, they used to tell us stories about if they lost something, they would reach out to St. Anthony. And if they didn't find it, they would actually threaten saying, okay, St. Anthony, I'm not going to venerate you again. I'm not going to pray anything. And you better find this for me right now. And again, it would show up. So he takes a lot of brunt of our forces, St. Anthony. So keep him in our prayers as well.
Yeah, I just thought of a true story about St. Anthony. This young girl wanted a husband. She couldn't meet it. She wasn't meeting anybody. So she got a little statue of St. Anthony. And she was praying to St. Anthony, and she prayed for a while, and her prayer wasn't answered. She wasn't finding and meeting anybody. So she was living on the second story in an apartment. So she threw the statue out the window. And this man knocked on the door. He says, is this your statue? He said, he hit me on the head. And she said, that's my statue. And she ended up marrying that man. So
St. Anthony, I told you, he's abused.
All the time. Another thing I noticed, put a picture of St. Joseph. In wherever you have your money put away, or your all your cards, your credit cards, or anything that's valuable, your passport. If anybody steals it, they're going to bring it right back. And I've experienced that twice already. That something was returned because we had a card of St. Joseph in it, something that was lost. One gypsy stole something out of my pocket like that. All my cards, my medical, my little insurance card, everything was in there. And she pulled it out of my pocket she thought it was a wallet. It wasn't. When she opened it and saw there was no money in it, she came, but I had St. Joseph's card in it. She could have thrown it in the garbage, but she returned it to me. So she had been begging me for money. So then I gave her a quarter, you know, because she returned what she had stolen from me, but it was a quarter of St. Joseph, a picture of St. Joseph in it. So I had read that on the internet, wherever you have a picture of St. Joseph, put it in all your valuable area places in your house or in your car. If you don't want your car to be stolen, put a picture of St. Joseph in there. So anyway, that's just a little
thing. And you gave a quarter. So again, all of you listening out there, if you're contemplating donating to Mother and the Sisters, be rest assured, Mother is frugal. She will well use your money. She will not spend it unwisely. I can guarantee that.
Well, I think that's all I had at the moment, but I was so grateful, even though she stole it. Sure. She returned it. So I was grateful and I gave her something in return. Anyway. Okay. Sister, you want
to? Yes. Since Mother was talking about charity, I wanted to share this passage that I read. Jesus talks about charity, how important it is. And he said, you know, there are so a lot of people that are doing like holy works, holy things, but they are still seeking their self-satisfaction. And he said, how foolish it is. So he said, what's the most important thing is that we decide to do everything in love and to carry everything in order to love. And when we grow in love, then that means we are staying next to Jesus. Even when we have to obey to somebody, we got to see God behind the person that's ordering us to do something. And only out of love, we have to make sacrifice and be obedient to the person. So then you are realizing not just you are obeying to the person, but in fact, you are love. You are loving. So really, Jesus said that charity, it's the most important thing. And even if it's small thing, when we do it out of love, it has such a big values. And the intensity, how much love we are putting into, and then do everything in the love of God. So our life, I remember Our Lady of Medjugorje said that we have to complete our life with love. So if we have any moment that is lacking love, then there are voids that we have to fulfill, that we have to, it needs to be filled with love, and we have to make it up in the purgatory. So make every moment to love, and he will transform us like Christ.
Yeah, and you know, when you mentioned about the voids, that's very important because Jesus explains to us that these voids, see, there's two voids. There's a good void that God gave us, that void in our soul to house him, and that's a good void. But the bad voids are those missed opportunities, like you said, sister, to give glory and honor to God and the love of God due to God. And we have to fill all those voids before we can enter heaven. So what he also tells us, again, something that may seem bad, like, for example, privation was very difficult for Louisa. But he goes on to tell her also, don't you understand what I'm doing here? I'm giving you an opportunity during these privation times or episodes. I'm redoubling your love so that I can more quickly fill your void so that you can hopefully, again, if you live the divine will perfectly and completely, Jesus tells us we can avoid purgatory. It has to be those two, though. It's very important. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I just would like to add to that one also, Peter, because this a moment of transitioning to Tennessee, we're doing a lot of manual labor. And you're right, you know, when we do these acts and rounds in divine will, it doesn't matter. In fact, it's an opportunity, you know, we get so exhausted at the end of the day, we get muscle soreness and all kinds of effects from physical work. So we're not used to this when we were in Italy, that now it's really, we can really feel it. But it's an opportunity for us to offer it up. You know, it's beautiful to offer up muscle soreness, you know, and comparing it to what Jesus went through on his passion. You know, this is really nothing compared to what he went through for love of us. So doing everything in divine will out of love for God, it really changes your perspective. Your pain becomes sweet because now it has meaning and you look forward to the fruits. And I was sharing with some of the sisters, you know, we may, even if we don't see the fruits now, but we know for sure, for certain, that God is going to use it. Whatever it is, God's going to use it. Also, with the new environment, you know, we're changing our diet, the environment, you know, we're getting, especially for me, allergies, and you get, you know, just changes in the environment and everything else. But these are beautiful opportunities to give to God because, you know, it's not only in the comfort and in the joy and all these beautiful things, but also in everything, you know, in our suffering, in our fiat, you know, letting go of our human will, especially. And Sister Gloria mentioned about obedience, you know, just obeying to God's will at the very moment, not even looking forward to the past or future. You know, we're thinking about, okay, what's the monastery going to be like in the future? When it's going to happen? When it's going to be finished? Yeah, you can think that, but our focus is not on that. Our focus is at the moment. What can we give to God at the moment? And that removes anxiety, removes fear, doubts. It removes it because we don't get hung up on that one. And we don't even have to dwell in the past to compare past to now. Everything is a gift. So that's the beauty about living in the divine will. And that would really help us if we take time to read, pray. And it's a prayer, actually, because when I read the volumes, when I read the books of the divine will, I make the words my own. I know it's not mine. It's from God. But he wants us to make it as my own. And when we make it as our own, it becomes Jesus's prayer. It becomes Jesus's eyes looking at the words. It becomes Jesus's mind thinking, his heart loving everything. And through Louisa, because Louisa was a secretary, but it's most especially just not even thinking about Louisa, just it's automatic. You know, when we think about this pudding, it's automatic because we are all one in divine will. There's no wall. There's no boundaries. It doesn't have any. And I would like to share with you about adoration, because it really made me think about, you know, sometimes I think, oh, I wish we have more time at adoration. I wish I have more time to do this. And, you know, and we're doing more. But the Lord gave me a tremendous lesson value from this meditation that I did today about adoration. And you can find this on volume 6, December 17, 1903. And basically what it is an imitation of our Blessed Mother during her adoration with the Lord's Passion. So the title of this passage is The Adoration that the Most Holy Virgin Did When She Encountered Jesus Carrying the Cross, the True Spirit of Adoration. So we can ask, what is the true spirit of adoration? And so this is Jesus telling Louisa, my daughter, she did nothing but a most profound and most simple act of adoration. And since the simpler the act, the more easily it unites with God. Most simple spirit, in this act, she infused herself in me and continued what I myself was doing in my interior. This was immensely pleasing to me, more than if she had done any other greater thing. In fact, the true spirit of adoration consists in this. The creature dissolves herself and finds herself in the divine sphere. She adores all that God does and she unites with him. I would like to pause here a little bit because I would like to pay attention on dissolves herself. Rachel dissolves herself and finds herself in the divine sphere. So this dissolving is become nothing. We give everything to God. When we painted, when we cleaned, we think Jesus doing this in me so that we no longer recognize our act, but Jesus's act. This is what he meant by dissolving and dissolving into the sphere of divine sphere. Because when we give it all to Jesus, think Jesus acting in my acting, doing, cleaning, whatever you're doing, you're entering in that divine sphere because it's no longer us doing it. It is Jesus in us. We are not lost, you know, we're still there. Our human will is now united or fused in the divine will. Okay. And I continue here. Do you think that when the mouth adores, but the mind is somewhere else, is it true adoration? Or the mind adores, but the will is far away from me? Or one power adores me and the others are all disordered? So Jesus, what Jesus is talking about here is we don't give him honor and glory through our lips, but he wants the mind as well. So attentiveness is very important. That's why when you talk about reading the volumes, don't just read it through without even giving a mind to it, without even paying attention to it. When we read, read with your eyes. If you can move your lips, even better, and think. So he wants the whole of us. He wants the whole. And working, you know, he wants. And, you know, you may think it really is impossible. You know, sometimes it's if you cannot really do that, it's the intention, you know. So don't get, like Mother mentioned earlier, do not get so hung up with, you know, whatever it is you're going through. You know, it is what it is. But the important is that you have the intention, purity of intention, especially purity. Purity of intention is to do it out of love for God, not for my own, you know, people would praise me or that people would notice me, you know, not that, that's not pure. Pure is only for the glory of God. And then no, I want everything for myself and everything I have given her in me. So we have nothing. Everything we have is given by God. Nothing comes from us. So he wants us to return it to him by living our life in him. This is the greatest act of worship, of adoration that the creature can do to me. So what the lesson Jesus gave me in this passage is that it doesn't matter whether I am before the Blessed Sacrament or I am painting or working. Now, I'm not saying that praying before the Blessed Sacrament is not important. I'm not saying that. If you have an opportunity, by all means, do that. It's very, very helpful. Going to, you know, taking advantage of the sacraments that the church gave us, it's very important. What I'm saying here is depending on your situation. For example, the reading today is about the talents, right? So God gave the talents according to the capacity of the person. One gives, he receives five, you know, 10, 5, 1. It depends on the capacity. In our situation right now, it depends on the circumstance. What matters is love. Are we doing this out of love of God? And are we, for me, I'm doing this out of love for God and for the love of our community, because this is the God's will for us at the moment. So I pray, let's pray for one another. Let's pray that we can live in the divine will, because it's really very important, not just doing the divine will, but to really fully live in the divine will. And that requires grace. We cannot do it on our own. We have to ask the Lord for this grace to receive the gift of divine will, to live it fully, and to have the strength and courage not to be distracted, not to be afraid or worried about anything that comes along the way, because nothing can get in the way of God. He is the most safest place to be, is in his divine will, in his heart, of course, through the help of our Blessed Mother.
Amen. You mentioned our Blessed Mother. In the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, I think it's day 22, Our Lady speaks about that, because remember when Jesus says that we must give up even holy things in order to first embrace this gift and then bring everything under the umbrella of the divine will? Well, he says that, and that seems, okay, I've got to give up holy things, everything. But then Our Lady in I think it's day 22, states, yes, that's true, but always according to the circumstances. So again, that may not always be possible. There may be something, there may be a bridge. God knows our intention and he knows the circumstances. So God's not rigid, and he doesn't need us to be rigid either. We know what we want to do. We want to emulate him. When we can, we do it. Again, as Our Lady says, but sometimes in all circumstances, we may not be able to give up even holy things. And we gave a great example of that, right? The soup kitchen. Let's say you're the one and a partner of yours is doing a soup kitchen. You alternate weeks. Well, 1 week your partner is not feeling well and you say, nope, I can't fill in for you. I've got to do this because it's in the divine will. But the flip side of that is if you don't show up at the soup kitchen, then 200 families are going to go hungry. So at that moment, you must, again, according to the circumstances, do what you had to do, and then you can always come back to divine will. So again, nothing is rigid here. And in fact, Jesus tells us that, Louisa tells us that. She speaks in volume 19, September 9th, 1926. Quote, in the kingdom of the supreme will, there shall be no laws, but everything shall be love, and one's nature shall be converted into divine law in such a way that of its own, it will want to do what the supreme fiat wants it to do. So again, like Mother said also, no fret, don't get anxious over this. This is going to come naturally if we allow God to work in us. Right, Sister Jacinta?
Yes, that's so true. So I just remember a beautiful homily that priest said at one of the churches we went to recently. So he was talking about just offering everything up, not only like our sufferings, pains, or our sicknesses, but even the act of like getting up in the morning, getting dressed and ready to face the world for a new day, just like even offering that up for intentions. And that really reminded me of the divine will, because we have to remember the Holy Trinity, the divine indwelling within us in every act of the day, even in our most insignificant acts, because really living in the divine will and just remembering Jesus doing everything in us and even calling him into our activities, that's really starting to live heaven on earth. And connecting to what Sister Magdalena said about the fusions from volume 29, April 4th, 1931, Jesus tells us through Louisa, moreover, you must know that my divine will is heaven, your humanity is earth. Now, as you keep doing your acts in it, you take heaven, and the more acts you do, the more room you take in this heaven of my fiat. And while you take heaven, my will takes your earth, and heaven and earth are diffused together and remain dissolved, one within the other. So it just really reminds me of the importance of time and not wasting time, and just to remember just like how Jesus is just constantly doing everything in us throughout the day. But if we're in a state of mortal sin, then we have to go to confession, and then we can ask Jesus to give this gift to us again. But if we realize we committed a venial sin, we say sorry to Jesus and we get right back into it. And this also reminds me of another passage where Jesus tells us through Louisa that he takes more delight in a pilgrim soul living on earth that has the gift of the divine will than he does a soul that's already saved and is in heaven. Because that pilgrim soul on earth can make new conquests, while the soul in heaven, it's already like finished. You can't make more conquests like you can on earth. And just reading this reminds me of just seeing like the beauty behind the cross. Like, yes, there's the cross, but we have to face the cross in order to get to the glory, the resurrection.
You're done? Okay.
You know, you mentioned that and about the fusing and about what God wants to give us. And it's so important because we get certain graces outside of God's will. Of course, he's never stopped giving us grace, but he says it's so important that to receive what he really wants to give us, we must enter. Excuse me. He says that in volume 19, August 31st, 1926, he says, quote, now how many things there are in my will that I must give to the creatures, but they have to come into its kingdom in order to receive them, end quote. That's why it's so important, and that preventing act in the morning to diffuse our wills, to allow God to bring even the gift on loan is all we can ask for in the beginning. Because as he does that, it's sort of like, again, we understood that Jesus wants to create addicts out of us. He wants to make us addicted to his divine love, like Adam and Eve were. And so how does he do that? Well, he gives us a taste of the divine will, and then he withdraws it. but he leaves that lingering taste that we're going to be craving for, that we're going to be wanting and desiring. And that's how he helps dispose us if we need any extra disposition. Again, God will do all the work if we allow him to do that. It's so beautiful. It's so easy. It's so difficult because it's yet so easy, I think. Right, Sister Pamela?
Yeah, it is like how Mother always mentions about how God is really a gentleman. So he's not going to force and getting inside your heart. He is always waiting for our fiat and our disposition of receiving this gift. And it makes sense because our human will is our freedom. So if he wouldn't give us this freedom, it would be like a slave. Like, oh, I'm forced to do this and this and that. So we need to always be disposed about doing all these things and always have our heart open to God so that he can pour all of himself into us. And then in pouring himself into us, now we can give it back to him in a perfect and complete way. And going back to all what the sisters have said about, I think I have been feeling like I'm so happy to be here, of course, but, you know, not being used to do hard work and all these things, painting the house, not having adoration, our schedule, how it's supposed to be. It's kind of like, especially our minds, overthinking too much. Sometimes it's our mind is our most enemy, like the enemy that we have close to us, because even though we are like, oh no, I'm not stressed, I'm okay, your mind is like, oh, I don't think you're okay. But I really like how Jesus always confirms us in his will. Every time that we open this book of heaven, it's like he wants us to not lose sight of what we are called to do. And I was reading from volume 16, November 20th, 1923. And it says, I felt a fear about what I was writing. This is Luisa. And I thought to myself, what would my confusion be on the day of judgment if instead of being my Jesus, the one who speaks to me, it were my fantasy or the infernal enemy? My Jesus, I feel I am dying at the mere thought of it. And you know the great repugnance I feel in writing. If it wasn't for blessed obedience, I would not have written a single word. And I feel such confusion that if it had been in my power, I would have burned up everything. Now, while I was in this state, my always adorable Jesus came out from within my interior as a little child. And placing his little head upon my shoulder, he clung to my face and said to me, my daughter, why do you fear? You must not be concerned about thoughts, but about facts. Is it perhaps not true that your will, embracing mine, wants to find everyone in order to bind them to my will, to retie all the broken bounds between the human will and the divine, exposing yourself to defend and excuse the creatures and to repair the creator? This is indeed a fact in you. Is it perhaps not true that you swore you wanted to live in my will, pronouncing a yes? That yes is a chain for you, which keeps you bound within my will. And as you take delight in it, it makes you outpour the shadow of your will. This is a fact. And then many other things which you know. So when I was reading this, I was like, I should stop overthinking about not being able to pray, because it is how the sisters have said before earlier today, like, even though we're not able to be in front, especially us, that right now that we are experiencing this time of changes and a lot of transitioning. And all of you too, like all of us are always transitioning into something new. Either it's in our family or at work or driving, I mean, it's always transitioning. Now that we have these knowledges of divine will, this is the most beautiful thing to think about, that now we are not, do not put God in a box where only by going through to church or only by going to the Blessed Sacrament, when you are busy, of course, you're not praying, because I think that's putting God into a small box of only he can do this, but not this. But now we are called to something else. We are called to have always in mind. And even if you get distracted, there's another passage in the volumes, I don't remember which one, where he tells Luisa that if your distraction is involuntary, it doesn't matter, like you shouldn't worry about it. Now, if there's an intention to get distracted, you just need to step out of it and just tell him again, like, okay, I want to be in your will. Because if in the morning you wake up and all you do is fusing yourself with the prevenient act, we gotta believe that it has been done. It's like a seal that you put into his will and it's gonna happen. So if you get distracted by something little, by something like just because you, but you didn't want it to get distracted, just tell him again, like, please, I want to be with you. And you, and I think we're not able to get out from his will, because if that would be possible, we will be not be alive, because we are contained in him. Even the people who don't believe in him, they are in him. And that's where he suffered his passion, because they're not loving him. But now that you know that you love him and you want to love him, just ask him to help you out, and also Our Lady, because she also did everything, all of our acts from the beginning to the end, and she contains everything in herself also. So I guess she's really the one who we need to go to and ask for her help to be able to not lose sight of from God and not get too overwhelmed about the situations, but transform them in something better, which is an act, which is an around, and be assured that everything you do, everywhere you are, he is with you, and he is with you always, and all he wants from your part is to love him more and more.
Yeah, and like Mother said, you know, reading and if God has made these volumes and these writings available to us, he expects us to read them. In fact, one thing I used to toy with Mother about, you know, when someone would just directly, you know, what does the divine will mean? And we can go on to dissertations. We can talk about this. We can talk about that. But God is so frugal with his words. And I was scurrying looking for this because in volume 21, May 22nd, 1927, he's just so succinct. One sentence, quote, my daughter, divine will means giving God to God. End quote. That's it. Now, to understand that fully, we ask for the grace of God to allow him to explain that to us. But that's it. And that's very simple because, again, what he's giving us, he's asking us to give back to him. And our lady was the perfect example when she gave her fiat, when she said yes. Remember, it says we must be in the divine will to receive the graces that he must give us. When she said fiat, she was there and he gave her what she needed, all of what she needed. And basically, after her fiat, God did all the work. She cooperated. I mean, I think he's asking the same from us, Mother.
Yeah, I was just reading something to go along with that. August 13th, 1899. It says, Jesus assumes the image of Luisa. Jesus continued to show himself to me for a little while this morning. He kept threatening to send chastisements. And as I went about begging him to assuage his anger, he would flee from me in a flash. Jesus could not say no to Luisa. So he knew that chastising the people would bring about grace for them, transformation for their souls to be saved. He told Luisa at one point, he says, you don't understand, Luisa, the body will die, but the soul live forever. If I can allow chastisements to save the soul, that's my love, that's my mercy. So his justice is his love, is his mercy. The last time he came, he showed himself crucified. I placed myself I place myself near him to adore him and to kiss his most holy wounds. But while I was doing this, instead of Jesus Christ, I saw my own image. I was surprised and I said, Lord, what am I doing? Am I adoring myself? This cannot be done. At that very instant, he changed into the person of Jesus Christ, and he told me, do not be surprised if I have assumed your own image. If I suffer in you continuously, why be surprised if I take on your own appearance? Besides, why do I make you suffer if not to make you an image of myself? So all those people out there suffering, terrible suffering, some people dying of cancer, suffering atrocious pains, those people are showing themselves to be in the image of God at that moment. He suffers within us. Everything that we suffer, he's suffering within us. He wants us to be resigned to whatever he allows in our lives, knowing that these are gifts. He told Louisa that those who suffer the most with resignation have the highest places in heaven. I remained totally confused, and Jesus disappeared. May everything be for his glory, and may his holy name be blessed forever. So as we suffer, we allow him to suffer within us. He's already redeemed us through his suffering. He can't suffer anymore unless we allow him to continue his redemptive suffering in us, to allow him to relive his life in us. He loves us so much. He wants to relive his life in you, but he won't do it unless you invite him. It goes on August 15th. This is August 15th. This is the day that we celebrate the Feast of the Divine Will, because Our Lady was the first to enter heaven, who lived totally in divine will, and she entered heaven on August 15th. This is August 15th, 1899. This morning, my most sweet Jesus came to me with a festive air, carrying a bundle of very beautiful flowers in his hands, and placing himself in my heart. Now he surrounded his head with these flowers, and now he held them in his hands, amusing and delighting himself thoroughly, while he was celebrating with these flowers, as if he had won a great victory. He turned to me and said, "My beloved, this morning I have come to place all the virtues in order in your heart. The other virtues may remain separate from one another, but charity puts them in order and binds them together. This is what I want to do in you. I want to order charity." So charity is the greatest command that God gives us, were the first two commandments. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the divine will, as we live it, as we strive to live it, as we read it, we get the knowledge of it. He told Louisa, the more knowledge you have of it, the more profound and power is in each one of your acts and rounds, because it's all about faith. Do you really believe what our Lord tells Louisa is the truth? In order to really believe it, you must ponder it, read it over and over again to let it sink in your heart and soul. So make your faith in this beautiful gift grow. I said to Jesus, "My one and only good, how can you do this since I am so bad and full of flaws and imperfections? If charity is order, aren't these defects and sins disorders that keep my soul untidy and upside down?" And Jesus answered, "I will purify everything, and charity will put everything in order. Besides, when I let a soul participate in the pains of my passion, she cannot be guilty of grave sins. At worst, she may commit some involuntary venial flaws, but the fire of my love will consume all of the imperfections in your soul." So the more we live it, the more the fire of his love burns away all the imperfections in our souls, and we take on his attributes, his virtues. We become like him. But it's not Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas Aquinas said, we become like little gods. We are his children. We are his princesses. You, Peter, are a prince, his prince. Other men out there, we're all princesses and princes of the king. Everything he owns, he gives to us. We have inherited everything from the king, who is our father. Then Jesus seemed to purify me and to put me all in order. Then he poured a little river of honey from his heart into mine. With that honey, he watered all of my interior so that everything in me remained orderly, united, and marked by charity. So only God can make us grow in holiness. You know, we have to trust in him. Before I had the divine will, I tried to practice virtue. You fall flat on your face, and you fall into the same faults and imperfections, because when you're trying to practice virtue on your own, you're thinking of yourself, me, myself, and I. But when you forget yourself and you realize the Trinity dwells in you, and you focus on him within yourself rather than you within yourself, then he practices the virtue in you. You begin to be transformed. He wants us to forget ourselves, totally forget ourselves, realize our nothingness, and that without him, we can do nothing. We can take no credit for anything we do. Without him, we could do nothing. I couldn't even breathe right now without him wanting me to breathe. I couldn't be speaking to you right now without his will allowing this in my life. Are we grateful for all the gifts he's given us to speak, to breathe, that our hearts beat, that we can walk, we can drink, we can eat, we can sleep, all these things that we can do. You know, some people can't even go to the bathroom. They don't have a colon anymore. They, you know, thank God for all your organs, kidneys, organs, stomach,
colon, stomach, gallbladder, everything that you have in your body, that he has so magnificently formed you. You're a magnificent creature. He formed you in just a perfect way. And your body, if your body is functioning well and you're healthy, thank God. But if he's taken away some of those functions and you're ill and you can't do the same things you did before, you are on the cross with Jesus. He's making you more like him. You're growing in holiness. You're going to have a higher place in heaven because of your suffering. If you suffer with resignation, with peace and joy in your heart, he will give you that. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. If it didn't hurt, it wouldn't be a cross. But that you resign to suffer whatever he wants you to suffer in this life. After this, I felt myself going out of my body into the vault of the heavens with my beloved Jesus. It seemed to me to be a holiday everywhere in heaven, on earth, and in purgatory. Because why? On August 15th, Our Lady's Feast of the Assumption, many, many, many souls leave purgatory. Right now, we're in the month of November, which we pray for souls to be released from purgatory right now. We're doing all year round, we do the Flame of Love Rosary. Every Hail Mary in the month of November releases 10 souls out of purgatory. Do the rest of year, every Hail Mary, Flame of Love Hail Mary, takes 3 souls out of purgatory. So you know what a great grace from God. It's every Hail Mary, I think 3 souls, right? And then during the year, and then during November, 10 souls for every Hail Mary. So that has been accepted by the church. If you want to Google it, you Google Elizabeth Kindleman. What is it? KINDELMANN, Flame of Love. And you can learn how to say the Flame of Love Rosary. And it's a great grace, you know, take a lot of souls out of purgatory right now. After this, I felt myself going out of my body into the vault of the heavens with my beloved Jesus. It seemed to me to be a holiday everywhere in heaven, on earth, and in purgatory. Everyone was filled with new joy and jubilation. Many souls were leaving purgatory, reaching heaven with bolts of lightning to be present at the feast of our Queen Mama. I too pushed my way through that immense throng of angels, saints, and souls from purgatory who already occupied that new heaven. It was so immense that it made our sky seem like a little hole to me, more so since I had the obedience of the confessor. As I went looking about, I could see nothing but a most brilliant sun spreading its rays. Those rays penetrated me and made me like a crystal, so that even the smallest blemishes appeared clearly. I clearly understood the infinite distance that separates the creature from the creator, especially since each of those rays had a special imprint. Some reflected the sanctity of God, others the purity, power, wisdom, and all the other virtues and attributes of God, so that beholding her nothingness, her miseries, and her poverty, the soul felt annihilated and fell face down on the ground before the eternal sun, which no one can face. To see beyond to the festival of our Queen Mama, one had to look. Oh, I just lost the page here. I have all my books packed away, so I'm reading it on a little phone right now because I don't know where my books are. My divine will books somewhere in the barn. Our Queen Mother, one had to look within the sun. So deeply did the Most Holy Virgin appear to be immersed in God. Indeed, when one looked for her from anywhere else, one could see nothing. While I remained in this state of annihilation, before that divine son, baby Jesus, from the arms of our mama, told me, our mama is in heaven, so I give you the role of acting as my mama on earth. And since I am continually suffering scorn, poverty, pain, and abandonment by mankind, and my mother kept me faithful company in all of these pains while she lived on earth and even tried to assuage them all as much as her strength allowed, you too, acting as my mother, will keep me faithful company in all of my pains. So he wants us to keep him faithful company in all of his pains. We can do that beautifully with the Passion Book, reading the Passion Book, letting it penetrate in your heart and soul, putting yourself in his place, realizing how much he suffered. That's how we can console him in his pains. One of the greatest ways to grow in holiness is making the Station of the Cross. are, you know, meditating on the Passion Book. We should try to read it every day. You know, our Lord was just talking, I was just reading about how great Our Lady is. You know, some people say, well, the Divine Will puts Louisa above Our Lady. That's not true. The Divine Will writings are all about Our Lady. Our Lord told Louisa she would be on the left, Our Lady would be on the right. Why? Because Our Lady brought about redemption. Louisa's, God, through Louisa's bringing about sanctification through these beautiful writings. But Louisa was his secretary. Jesus wrote these books. Louisa was there writing them. She suffered a lot to be able to get this. I think after Our Lady, probably Louisa suffered the most. And people say, where's St. Joseph? Well, I think St. Joseph's next to Our Lady on the right-hand side of God, you know. He's a spouse of Our Lady. But the Divine Will does not put Our Lady down at all. It lifts Our Lady up. The more you read it, the more you realize how great Our Lady is. We say a prayer 3 times a day, asking Our Lady to take us by the hand and to help us to live totally in God's Divine Will. So don't let anybody tell you that the Divine Will puts Our Lady down or puts Louisa above Our Lady. That is not the truth. I pray to Our Lady all the time. You know, I think of Louisa occasionally, but I can't say that I'm praying to Louisa like I pray to our mother. Sometimes I ask Louisa to help me, teach me, help me live in the Divine Will. But every day I'm praying to our mother. I pray at least three rosaries a day. I try to do 4, you know. Our Lady in Medjugorje asks us to say the 15-decade rosary. And you can do the rosary in a round. And you can put your I love you on everything that happens. And the rosary is the life of Christ, in every aspect of the life of Christ. You know, the Annunciation, when the angel appeared to Our Lady and asked her to be mother of Jesus, you can put your I love you in that moment, on every word the angel said to Our Lady, on Our Lady's response, giving her fiat. But when she visited Elizabeth, you can put your I love you in the moment. St. John leapt in his mother's womb and was sanctified in his mother's womb. You can put your I love you on the birth of Jesus, on it's Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem. It's a little joke I heard once. I might have mentioned before. Why did Our Lady ride a donkey to Bethlehem? Because she gave her fiat to God. You know, so anyway.
Fiat the car.
The rosary. Yeah. The flame of Rome.
What did you say?
The fiat the car.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mother, really quickly, Sister Gloria, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Our Lady, if you look at it, is the perfect example of the Divine Will. Just like our catechism states, I think it's 507, that states Our Lady is the perfect model and example of the church. And what is the church? The church is here on earth, as Jesus articulates, to bring us back to the Divine Will. In fact, he says it in volume 14, September 11th, 1922. I know we've read this to nauseam, but it's so important. This is Jesus speaking. And again, volume 14 has the church's imprimatur. They found nothing wrong with this. This is what Jesus says, quote, "Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means, the way in which to reach this possession of my divine will." End quote. So everything that's been given to us, the flame of love, the devotion, including the rosary, these are all tools. God has given us the greatest toolbox that we can possibly fathom, and he's asking us to build our own individual way into the divine will. Remember, to receive the gift, we've done nothing to deserve it. Zero. It's a gift. Once we receive the gift, now it's predicated on how much effort and time and work and desire we put into it as to what God is going to give us in return. It's all here for us.
And Our Lady, and people say, well, you know, you don't, when you're living the Divine Will, you don't need to pray the rosary anymore. Our Lady had the rosary in her hand 24/7 all the time. Right. Louisa had the rosary in her hand all day long. She was praying rosaries. Our Lady in Medjugorje asked us to pray the 15-decade rosary every day. Why did Our Lady ask us to do something if it's not necessary? She knows about the Divine Will. Would she tell us not to pray the rosary? You don't need it anymore. Our Lady never said in Medjugorje or anyplace else, if you're living in the Divine Will, you don't need to pray the rosary anymore. She encourages us to pray the rosary. Fatima, Lourdes, Medjugorje, all these different apparition sites. And, you know, they say, well, you don't need to go to confession anymore. Well, Louisa went to confession for 7 hours one time. Our Lord wanted her to have a confessor. She always had a confessor, you know. So, you know, we have to look at all of this. Louisa was totally Catholic. We must be totally Catholic, living our Catholic faith to the ultimate, you know.
Right. Quick litmus test too, Mother. If it's not Catholic, it can't be Divine Will.
That's right.
So that's a really, really easy test.
And the will writings talk about the sacraments throughout, and the church and the Pope. I mean, it's all about the church, you know, all about the church. And Luisa was truly Catholic, very obedient to the priesthood, always, you know. And so we must be obedient, you know, and obedient to the church. And how do you know what the church teaches? There's confusion out there right now. Read the catechism, study the catechism, so you know your faith. And you know, and you know, when they say, well, that the writings are not, you know, not Catholic, or that there's fallacies, and our Lord told Luisa that if they found any fault with these writings, it would just be because of the lack of understanding, but there would be no fault in it. Right now, the church has already proven through, the Italian version, Cardinal Ratzinger approved in 1997, three other theologians in the Vatican, all the volumes have been approved. The English translation we know is good because we know our catechism. I've read them all many times. I haven't found anything against church teaching. Other translations, our sister Gloria here reads the Korean translations, and she says she knows her catechism, hadn't found any fault with it. So the Italians, you know, they have the one that's been proved already. But I think you can be confident that the English translation is good. The Archbishop of Corato had a meeting with a whole room full of people from America who were reading only English translation, and he encouraged us to read it, to print it, to spread it, to encourage others to read it. He told us only not to publish it, but he wanted us to study it, read it, and pass it around.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, the typical edition would not be generated. The typical edition was generated by the Vatican 2 years ago. That would not have been generated if there were any errors whatsoever in the writings. That would not have been. The Son of My Will, the biography of Luisa Picaretta, published by the Vatican Publishing Company in 2015, could not and would not be published if there were any errors. And again, the Archbishop of Corato, I think in his communication of 2020 or 2022, he says the reason for the delay right now is not because there's any errors. There are zero errors. Let's just be clear on that. But there are ambiguities. There are situations where the church cannot effectively explain the divine will at this time to the Catholic faithful. And Jesus called this out in the volumes. He says, initially, the church is going to look at this from a human perspective, and they're not going to be able to understand it. Once the divine will takes effect, once the divine grace is given to those who are doing the review, they'll understand it completely. But again, God is giving us time to love this gift in faith. And what does Jesus tell us in volume 2? Faith equals God. So it's all here, even during our wait.
And God is simple. He's not complicated. If you get complicated, you won't understand these writings. You must be simple as God is simple. You know, you must be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Children can understand this even better than adults sometimes, if the adults are complicated.
I agree.
Sorry, I just wanted to say one thing quickly regarding the Flame of Love Rosary. In the month of November, it's 10 souls for one Hail Mary, but it is only one soul. In other months, it's only one soul with three Hail Marys. I just wanted to say that quickly. And then there's a lady who asked for a clarification to what Sister Pamela said. There's a question. Should I read it? She said, the sister just say Our Lady did all of our acts, not just Jesus. That is inconsistent with the writings. Only Jesus did our acts, and his acts contain all acts, including Our Lady's acts.
So what I meant was that Our Lady is our helper, so we need to go to her, because in the volumes it said that if we surrender to her also, she takes our acts, and then because she already put the seal of the divine will on each one of our acts, that was the redemption and the role that was given to Our Lady. Maybe I used the wrong word, but what I meant was that obviously, Jesus did all of our acts, yet he redeemed them all, and everything is containing him because he's the deposit of all of our acts, also Our Lady's acts. But we are calling Our Lady to help us to do all, to continue these acts that are already sealed in the divine will. And I just wanted to quote from volume 30, December 8, 1931, and it says, the celestial, let me see. I continue my abandonment in the divine fiat. Its sweet chains clasp me so tightly, but not so as to take the freedom away from me. No, but to render me more free in the divine fields and to keep me defended from everyone and from everything, so I feel safer and chained by the divine will. And while I was doing my acts in it, I felt the need of my celestial mama, for her to help me and to sustain my little acts, so that they might encounter the divine satisfaction and smile. And the celestial consoler, who is unable to deny me anything when it is about pleasing him, visiting my poor soul, told me, "My daughter, our celestial mama, holds primacy over all the good acts of creatures. She, as queen, has the mandate and the right to make the withdrawal of all their acts into her acts. Her love of queen and of mother is so great that as the creature disposes herself to form her act of love, from the height of her throne she makes a raid of her love descent. She invests and surrounds their act of love to placing them from her own as a prime love." So this is what I meant, calling her to keep all these seeds of love that she already did for us and ask her to keep giving us that grace of sealing everything like it's already sealed, but putting it together with her as how she did, was the one who did help Jesus with the redemption, and then being able to give to God what he wants from us. That's what I meant.
Yeah, Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces and co-redemptrix, we feel. So she suffered everything with Jesus in a mystical way. That's how she's co-redemptrix. But she everything comes to us through Our Lady and returns to God through Our Lady. She's the mediatrix of all graces. And we have to pray to her too, because our Lord cannot say no to his mother. You want to live in divine will, ask Our Lady to help you. She will lead you and direct you and help you to learn in the Bible. She's a loving mother. She's not God. No, she's not God. She is who she is because God made her who she is, to be conceived without original sin. And, you know, the Magnificat is a beautiful prayer of humility of Our Lady. He has done great things for me, and holy is his name. You know, she knew that without God, she was nothing, and he needed to redeem her. She knew she was redeemed through Jesus, who was her son, you know, on earth.
I just would like to thank the lady who sent us the question, because this is really what's important. If we said something that is not clear to you, please raise your question so we could clarify. Yeah. It's very important.
It's very important because we may even say the wrong thing. Yeah. We're happy that you tell us. Yeah. Or if you misunderstand or we don't express it in the right way, we need to know. We don't want to confuse anybody out there. So please let us know if there's anything we say that you find confusing or you don't understand. We need to clarify that. So we thank you for that question.
Mother, if anyone's going to do any confusing of the faithful, it'll be me. Oh, don't worry about that.
Okay. This is from volume 29, and here he talks about how just one little act that is done in the divine will, it is just everything to God. So this is from May 10th, 1931. "My daughter, just as the yeast has the virtue of fermenting the bread, so is my will the fermentator of the acts of the creature. As she calls my divine will into her acts, they remain fermented by it and form the bread of the kingdom of my will. Now, in order to make much bread, the yeast is not enough, but it takes much flour. It takes someone who must do these acts of uniting flour and yeast. It takes water, bond of union, to be able to knead flour and yeast, so that the yeast may communicate the fermenting virtue and the flour may receive it. Then it takes the fire to cook this bread, to form it as nourishing and digestible bread. Now, does it not take more time, more eggs to form it rather than to eat it? The sacrifice is in forming it. As for eating it, it is done quickly, and one feels the taste of the sacrifice. So, my daughter, the yeast of my divine fiat, which has only the virtue of fermenting your acts, emptying them of the human will in order to convert them into bread of divine will, is not enough, but it takes a continuation of acts, of sacrifices, and for a long time in such a way that my will, with its fermenting virtue, will ferment all these acts, so as to form much bread and keep it prepared and in store for the children of its kingdom." Okay, I'll stop right here. So really, when we call the divine will in all our acts, it is acting as a yeast, and all our eggs is flour. So we gotta knead it with the yeast and water. So then, and then Jesus, he will ferment it, and then he will make it bigger, and he will make it a bread. And like, really, our acts, it's got beginning and end, and it has a very limited and restricted value of it. But then, like the magic of yeast in the bread, when we call the divine will to call, to come and act in us, and it's going to make that magic, it's going to change it to divine acts. And like one time, Louisa was asking, why is Jesus so interested in my interest in when I stay in the usual state of suffering? And Jesus said that it's because my will is fulfilled. You know, like staying in that suffering, everything we do is the will of God. The sisters were saying that every day, you know, we are working here, doing more manual work. A few days ago, we were pulling out the staples from the wooden floor. And then we were thinking, because that was our prayer, that was our adoration. For each staple that we were pulling out, we were praying that the souls from the purgatory gets released. And we were also thinking of taking out the thorns from Jesus, you know, the crown of thorns. And I was also praying that my sins, you know, gets purified. So every act in that moment, just even if it's an insignificant one, just one little act doing in the divine will is everything. It's wholesome. So even just a drop of water, it is water. It's whole. So it doesn't really require like great thing or big thing that Jesus is asking for us in order to make it divine. Yeah. He said, yes.
Before you continue, I have something that corroborates exactly what you said there, if I may. Volume 23, October 2nd, 1927. This is Jesus speaking. Quote, therefore, no one else, though he might do great things, can compare to that creature in whom my divine will lives, reigns, and dominates. So there's a huge, end quote. So there's a huge delineation there that, again, we may not understand completely, but I don't think we need to understand completely at this time. But God will, of course, grace anticipates us all. When we need to know, he'll let us know.
That's sure. Right. Like just one act that is fulfilled in his will, he said, it's everything for me. I said, because it contains the heaven and earth, the sun, even himself, it is contained in the will of God. In that act, there is all love, all virtues, goods, and glory. It is all crystallized, centralized in that act, one small act. Even if we don't realize, you know, what we are doing, it seems like small and insignificant. But when we realize what we are calling into our acts, we are giving everything. We are giving all to God. So, and then when we do that, it doubles his passion, his sufferings, his acts, his all his steps and words, and he will use it to give it to the creature. So we got to think of always carrying out his will, and then our life will become the continuation of his acts. So, yeah.
I was just reading here to go back to Our Lady a bit here. Says our Lord was telling Louisa the first canticle that they sang to my mama was the Hail Mary, because the Hail Mary contains the loveliest praises, bestows the highest honors, and renews the joys that she felt when she was made the mother of God. So let us recite it together to honor her, and when you come to paradise, I will let you hear it as if you had recited it with the angels and the saints for the first time in heaven. So we recited the first part of the Hail Mary together. Oh, how tender and moving it was to hail our most holy mama with her beloved son. Each word that he said bore an immense light, which communicated many things about the most holy virgin. But who can say them all? Least of all myself, because of my inability. That is why I pass over them in silence. Amen.
I just would like to add a little bit to what we have already been talking about. You know, we talk about the confusion and how people are really confused about the divine will. So many people are arguing over little things and paying attention to little things. I would like to just read a passage that connects to that one, volume 6, November 24, 1903. And so Jesus was telling Louisa how important it is to really know that we cannot understand the mind of God. No matter how intelligent we think we are, we cannot put God's mind into our minds. So he said, "Daughter, I am the truth itself, and falsehood can never come from me. At the most, it is something that man does not comprehend. And I do this to show that if one does not comprehend his word well, how can he comprehend the creator in everything? However, the soul must correspond by putting my word into practice. In fact, my word are many links of grace that come out of me and are given to the creatures as gift. If she corresponds, she connects these links to the others which she has already acquired. But if she does not, she sends them back to her creator." So what Jesus is telling us here, when we read the volumes, we gain knowledge, we gain understanding through grace, through his mercy, through his help. But we have to put this into action. We have to really apply what we learn. Because in application, we experience God. We experience his love. We experience his love not only to me, to us, but to our neighbors, to everyone around us. In this experience, our knowledge and understanding gets deepened. And this is how we are able to understand more God's mind, is when we correspond by putting his words into action. Whatever we learn from the divine will, let's put it into action. But we cannot be separated from the church. Divine will is not another religion. It's not a religion that looks like Catholic. Divine will books is not an addition to the Bible. The Bible canon is closed. No more addition to that. What the divine will does, the volumes does, is like a magnifying glass. It allows us to see more clearly, understand more deeply, appreciate more beautifully what is already given in Holy Scripture. The catechism, I also heard from other Protestant churches when I was still living in Texas, that Catholics made another Bible, which is the catechism. The same thing. People say things the way they want it. They think that the catechism of the Catholic Church is another Bible. No, the catechism Catholic Church is a clarification, a teaching to expound, to deepen, to teach more what is really not easy to understand in the Bible. The divine will is just like that. Basically, it's application. It's teaching us how to apply what we learn from the Bible. It's a practical application. I also mentioned another example. It's not magnifying glass. I like to use pop-up books, color. You know, it's more dimension, more depth. And so that's really all that it is. So let us put into action what we learned and ask for the grace. And the most important thing is we have to remain humble. We have to remain nothing. If people come to us with misunderstandings, we should not be angry. We should not be frustrated. We pray for them. Be calm. Be confident. Because after all, it's not ours. It's God's. It's God's. And don't be afraid to admit. If we don't understand, if we don't know, be humble enough to admit, you know, I need to look into that a little bit more. You know, honesty really goes a long way.
Yes. And just to clarify what you said, Sister, very important. Again, what you said is found in our catechism. It's the first one's Article 66, which I'll try to paraphrase. I'll get close to it. It states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations, us, to better understand what has already been given. Yeah. So that's a great apologetic when we're faced, oh, nothing new. Well, it's not new, but it's new to us because it was always there. And again, the magnifying glass. We're looking at a flower. The flower is beautiful. We memorized it, but now we have a magnifying glass. Wow, we can see photosynthesis. We can see the fuzz on the petals. We can see everything that was always there, but we just couldn't see it. And then the second important, I think, catechism is the next one, Article 67, which defines the role of a mystic. The mystic is not to improve, complete, nor subtract what has already been given, but to allow us to better understand what's already been given during a certain period of time, end quote. Those two save the day with apologetics with someone says, oh, nothing new. I've got everything I need. No, you don't.
It's a beautiful testament of the sanctification that, you know, God is trying to teach us how to be sanctified through the way Adam and Eve lived before the fall. So this is the oldest thing. It goes back to the time of Adam and Eve. And, you know, God does everything in threes. He gave us these beautiful books as a testament of sanctification. I believe that, you know, we're going into that time when everyone will be living totally in his divine will.
Yeah, so when you start reading the divine will writings, you really see it everywhere, like even in the writings of the saints, even in the Divine Mercy book, like the Divine Mercy and the Divine Will, they're two sides of the same coin. And I just feel really inspired to talk just a bit about just gratitude, because yes, we should do everything out of love for Jesus, but it's so important to just have a spirit of gratitude, like even when we're suffering, just thinking of all the blessings Jesus has given us in our life, because I think one of the Divine Will volumes talks about how gratitude is the key to open like new treasures from God. So I'd just like to read a little bit from volume 29, May 10th, 1931, where Jesus talks about how one who wants to receive must give. So Jesus tells us through Louisa, "My daughter, one who wants to receive must give. Giving disposes the creature to receive and God to give. Many times also your Jesus has this way. When I want something from the creature, I give. And if I want great sacrifices, I give much, so that in looking at the much I have given, she will feel ashamed and will not have the courage to deny me the sacrifice I ask of her. To give is to almost bind the person who receives. It is to draw his attention, his love. To give is to appreciate. To give is hope. To give is to make the memory of the giver arise in the heart." And just skipping down to another part. So Jesus telling us we don't only receive from God, we also give to him. So it's like around. So continuing on with this passage, "Now, my daughter, to give and to receive are first and indispensable acts that in clear notes indicate that we love the creature and that she loves us. But this is not enough. One must know how to receive by converting the good received into one's nature, by eating it and masticating it thoroughly in such a way as to convert the gift into the soul's blood. This is our purpose in giving our gifts, wanting to see the gift we gave converted into our nature, because then are our gifts not in danger, and we dispose ourselves to give greater gifts, and the creature, having converted it into her nature, places our gift in safety, becomes the possessor of it, and will feel within herself the good, the fount, and the good received converted into her nature." So now when I'm reading this, it's really reminding me of we're so blessed to have the gift of the Divine Will writings. And it's just so important to just read it thoroughly, to really chew it, and spiritually speaking, to just let it masticate into the blood of our souls. And to just not only read the writings every day, to just ponder it. And as Mother was saying, really just to pray it and to live it out. And if you forget to, like, if you forget what you read, or if you forget to do acts and rounds, it's okay. Just do your best to remember, and Jesus won't be hard on you like, oh, why did you forget what you just read or something. No, like, God is so gentle and good, and Mother Mary will take you by the hand, and God will help you. God will give you us all the grace to live in the divine will.
You're right. You know, you mentioned gratitude, and that's something that's so easy to give to our blessed Lord. He tells us, I don't have the volume in front of me, but Mother, he tells us that when he sends a gift to us, the gift is not complete until the soul or the creature responds to the gift. So there needs to be a connection, a response. The easiest response to do, and probably the foremost one, should be a thank you. Be gratitude of what we've received. Then perhaps we have to put into practice whatever he's given us. But yeah, gift requires a response, and a response should be gratitude. It's so easy to say thank you, but do we say thank you? Thank you for waking up. Thank you for going to bed. Thank you for working. Thank you for drinking. Thank you for doing everything we do. which is so incredible. Gratitude. It's actually what Jesus states was one of his gravest pains in his humanity was the fact that the gratitude was missing. I mean, look at the lepers. 10 were healed. 1 came back. Where are the other 9? And that happens over and over and over again.
Someone's making the statement about being too many prayers. How can you do all those prayers? Oh, the divine will, you're not adding anything. You're just doing what the church has asked you to do. Like when I said 3 rosaries, Our Lady and Medjugorje asked for the 3 rosaries, a 15-decade rosary every day, at least if you say 1. But, you know, to be obedient to our mother, I try to say the 15-decade rosary a day. But as far as the divine will, you don't do anything different. You keep doing what you're doing. You're just asking Jesus to do it in you. So you don't have to do any more prayers than you're doing. In fact, he told Louisa, some prayers are not necessary. You burden yourself with too many novenas, right, too many things that he may not be requiring of you. He just wants you to live your Catholic faith the way the church has taught you to live it, but ask him to live it within you. So when you go to Mass, you ask him to listen in your listening, to pray in your praying, to, you know, to go to Mass within you. But he's not asking for more prayers. He's just asking you to do whatever you've always done, according to his will, of course, ask him to do it in you. He won't do anything against his will. He won't sin in you. But everything you do, breathing, drinking, sleeping, in the morning, you just have to say 1 prayer. Jesus, come do everything in and through me this day. And he will. If you don't sin, you know, if you sin, you just tell him you're sorry. You get right back in. If it's a venial sin, if it's a mortal sin, you go to confession, ask him for the gift to get right back in. But you don't have to do anything different. Just keep the same things you've been doing. Just ask him to do it in you.
Yeah. I think, Mother, I was reading that question. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was reading it as if, is it okay if I don't pray the flame of love because I've got so much else to do in the divine will?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you don't have to. No.
You don't, yeah.
That's just a devotion in the church.
Right.
It's
right.
Accepted by the church, but right. You don't have to do
you
it.
You want There's to, you can.
There's a lot of devotions in the church that, you know, if you did them all, you would have no time to do anything else.
That's true.
I mean,
how do you know if it's really from God?
Well, the way you know it's from God is the church has approved it. The right. flame of love, the devotion has been approved by the church.
Right.
The rosary approved by the church. Stations of the cross approved by the church. But you don't have to do all the prayers that the church has approved. You just do the ones that you think God's leading you to pray. We go to Mass every day. We feel as religious, that's important. We go to confession once a week. We feel as religious, that's important. Our Lady Medjugorje said go once a month. That's good for lay people. But, you know, if you have mortal sin, of course, go right away, you know, get back into the state of grace. But you don't have to do all the prayers in the church. There's too many of them. That would not be God's will for you. You wouldn't be able to cook. You wouldn't be able to do all the chores that you have to do if you do it all the prayers. Some people wake up early in the morning, they say 1 prayer after another, 1 novena after another, and they burden themselves with all these things, you know, that may be too much. You might not be able to say 3 rosaries a day. Maybe you can say 1 rosary a day, though, and say it well. 1 rosary said well is better than 3 rosaries not said so well. I'm not sure I say them all well all the time. I get distracted, but I try to say them. But you know, don't burden yourself with that. Just even 1 Hail Mary asking Jesus to pray it in you is greater than 1 whole rosary not prayed in the divine will. So just, you know, you could just say a few prayers and ask him to pray those prayers within you. And that's beautiful. That's living in his divine will. Ask him to pray in your praying.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mother, what we just read also about Jesus telling us that everything that he's given us has had as its primary purpose to bring us to the divine will means that everything that we've done has been useful, helpful, tremendously an asset to us. And again, if we want to embrace, like Jesus says, give up holy things, not forever, but come under the umbrella of the divine will, and then we can go back to doing everything we were doing. But now we're doing it on a whole different level that we could not achieve on our own. It's God taking us to another level, to the level of Adam and Eve, in which we were poised to be.
If you're doing things during the day and you don't know what is God's will for me to do, you ask him.
Right.
Maybe you want snacks in the middle of the day and you don't need them. You're not hungry. Maybe you should say, Jesus, do you want me to eat this snack? It's like asking him throughout the day, Jesus, you want me to do this? And if you really believe he wants you to do it, then you better do it because he sees your heart. He knows that you believe that's his will, whether it is or not. If you believe it's his will, you should do it. You know?
That's right.
More than those oldest prayers and novenas, but what's the most important thing is the relationship between God and us, and this intimate relationship. So like Mother said, even if it's only 1 Hail Mary we pray, and that's all. Like, remember, there's a story of a man who always go to church, And one time the priest asked him, what are you doing at the church? And he said, I'm just looking at God and he's looking at us. And that's really all we need, this relationship between God and us.
Okay. Amen. So, I saw someone had a quick question about the excerpt from one book of heaven that he or she was reading about, that the material may be protected or copyrighted. There's only one entity that owns the rights. It's a printing company. I think it's Gamba in Italy, and they've given authority to allow everyone to use it. So don't worry about if you're quoting something from the volumes. As long as you're working through a good translation, you're free to use it.
I think it's public domain anyway. It's over 50 years old. So it's, I wondered about that, because how they sold the rights to someone. But our Louisa always said, when they try to pay her for the book, she said, they're not mine, they're God's. Right, right. Who stole them from God and yeah, claimed to own yeah them? You know, I think that God wants them out there. He wants right the book of the Archbishop Crotto encourage us to print them right and pass them right out. The book that they have has a lot of missing things, because one of the sisters got their books, right, and there was a lot missing from the other books that we had gotten that were much cheaper, actually. You know, but it is over 50 years old now, so it's public domain. Right. I mean, you can't get right in trouble if you even
right
publish
no, you
them,
won't. You know? But again, just to clarify, Gamba or Goomba, I forget the name of it. It's actually a relative of Louisa's, and they're not doing it for profit, but they do own the rights so that no one else can profit from it. So I think they restarted that 100-year or 50-year domain issue. But again, we're free to use them. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
As long as we're not exploiting it, that's what Jesus doesn't want. Mother, any closing thoughts?
No, just keep reading and praying and trying to get close to God and try to pray and ask him for the grace to live totally in his Emmanuel. I ask for that every day for all of you, for myself, all my sisters, that we can live more totally in his Emmanuel and die to ourselves more and more each and every day of our lives. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect. We must accept everybody's imperfections and love them the way they are, because we have our own imperfections, you know. So don't feel like because we live in it, we're preaching the mind will, we're encouraging others to read it, that we're perfect. No, we're not perfect, and we don't live this perfectly. We just know that that's what we're striving for. We'd love to live a life of perfection, but we all have our weaknesses and failures, and we have to be patient with one another. We're all born with the same disease, and it's called original sin. So, you know, we have to be patient with one another.
Just like it says in Hebrews, support one another every day for as long as this day lasts. And that's what we really need to do. We can't fight each other. I'd like to end, Mother, with something regarding our Blessed Mother. I know there was some talk about that. And let's just take it from someone who knows. Let's take it from St. Hannibal de Francia. By the way, St. Hannibal for 17 years was Louisa's confessor. He was also the confessor to the seer Melanie Calvert of Our Lady of La Salette, fully approved apparition. So he knows what he's talking about, and he's a saint. So this is what he says in the 1 p.m. hour of the Hours of the Passion. Quote, what use do we make of the great gift of his mother, whom he gave us? Do we make the love of Jesus, the tenderness of Jesus, and all that Jesus did our own, so as to make his mother's joy complete? Can we say that our mother, who participated in the divine nature, finds in us the joy that she found in Jesus? Are we always close to her as faithful children? Do we obey her and imitate her virtues? Do we do our best to avoid leaving her maternal gaze so that she may keep us always clinging to Jesus? End quote. So if you have a question about going to Our Lady, you can never go to her too often. And I know this for a fact, we can never be more Marian than her son was. So don't worry about that.
You can't love her more than Jesus loved her.
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Mother, thanks be to God for this day. Thank you, the sisters. Again, we're looking forward to the new setup. It's coming close. We've got some stuff on their way. And pray for Mother and the sisters that their tendons and their ligaments hold up with the painting and the floorboarding and all the other stuff that they're doing. And I'm going to now allow everyone to unmute themselves if they'd like to. And say goodbye to Mother and the sisters. Okay, you may do so.
Bye, Mother.
Bye, everybody.
Sisters.
Bye.
Welcome to Tennessee.
God bless you guys.
God bless from Oregon.
Thank you, Mother.
You look so good.
Welcome to Tennessee.
You look great. God bless.
Welcome.
Love you.
Thank you.
God bless you. I love you.
Bye.
Thank you,
sisters.
Love you. Thank you. God bless you.